In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." And the Apostle Peter has written, "Baptism now saves you." The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful and under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. Therefore, depart, you unclean spirit, and make room for the Holy Spirit in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I mark you with the sign of the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Let us pray. O almighty and eternal God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray on behalf of your servant Otis, who asks for the gift of your baptism and desires your eternal grace through spiritual rebirth. Receive him, Lord, according to your promise. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Now give your blessing to him who asks and open the door to him who knocks, so that he may obtain the eternal blessing of this heavenly bath and receive the promised kingdom that you give through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty and eternal God, according to your strict judgment, you condemned the unbelieving world through the flood. Yet according to your great mercy, you preserved believing Noah and his family, 8 souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his host in the Red Sea, yet led your people Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. We pray that you would behold Otis according to your boundless mercy and bless him with true faith by the Holy Spirit, that through this saving flood all sin in him, which has been inherited from Adam, and which he himself has committed since, would be drowned and die. Grant that he be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian church, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers, and serving your name at all times with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, he would be declared worthy of eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. They brought young children to Jesus that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Let us pray together the Lord's Prayer over Otis. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Otis, do you renounce the devil?
Yes, yes, I renounce him.
Do you renounce all his works?
Yes, yes, I renounce them.
Do you renounce all his ways? Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth?
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and was buried? He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead?
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting?
Yes, I believe.
Otis, do you desire to be baptized?
Yes, I do.
Otis, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. Peace be with you. Amen. We will continue with the introit as found in your bulletin insert. When Israel was a child, I loved him. Thus says the Lord, a voice is heard in Ramah. Rachel is weeping for her children. Thus says the Lord, keep your voice from weeping.
Keep your eyes from tears.
For there is a reward for your work, declares the Lord.
And they shall come back from the land of the enemy.
There is hope for your future, declares the Lord.
And your children shall come back to their own country.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. When Israel was a child, I loved him. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, our Maker and Redeemer, you wonderfully created us, and in the incarnation of your Son, yet more wondrously restored our human nature. Grant that we may ever be alive in him who made himself to be like us, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday after Christmas is taken from Isaiah, the 63rd chapter. I will recount the steadfast love of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has granted us, and the great goodness to the house of Israel, that he has granted them according to his compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. And he became their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore he turned to be their enemy, and hid himself, fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old of Moses and his people, where is he who brought them out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Where is he who put in the midst of them his Holy Spirit, who caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses, who divided the waters before them to make for himself an everlasting name, who led them through the depths? Like a horse in the desert they did not stumble. Like livestock that go down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord gave them rest. So you led your people to make for yourself a glorious name. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is taken from Galatians, the 4th chapter. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that he might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord. We continue with the gradual. Please rise. To us a child is born, to us a son is given.
And
and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Sing to the Lord a new song.
For he has done marvelous things.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 2nd chapter. Now when the wise men had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, Out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious. And he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And he rose and took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, that what was spoken by the prophet might be fulfilled: he shall be called a Nazarene. Here endeth the gospel. I believe in God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The unbelief of Herod the Great is extraordinary. Extraordinary in its utter excessive hardness of heart, in its callousness to the things of God and towards neighbor. Extraordinary in the example of unbelief it provides. It is both illustrative of what we mean by unbelief, and in being so illustrative of unbelief, it also starkly shows its opposite, namely the nature of faith. And it also reveals the deepest, darkest expression of unbelief that we see repeated throughout Holy Scripture and throughout the history of the world. First, we'll touch on the extraordinary nature of Herod's callousness to the things of God. Second, the fruits of that depravity that we see acted out by Herod himself and the slaughter of the innocents. And finally, how all of it is overcome in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so first, to take a step back to review the context that leads to the slaughter of the holy innocents this morning, we remember that the Magi, upon observing the star that heralded the birth of the King of the Jews, very naturally went to the capital city of Jerusalem to look for the newborn king. But they did not find the young Jesus there. But they did find Herod and his court. After explaining the heavenly sign that they beheld and its meaning to Herod, Herod does not disbelieve them. And this is the distinction that we are going to make between unbelief and disbelief. Herod is mired in unbelief, the opposite of faith, but he doesn't disbelieve. He doesn't think that the Magi are lying or making it up or crazy. He's probably seen the star himself, but simply did not know what it meant. No, he believes them about the star, and more importantly, he believes them about its meaning. That the King of the Jews, the long-foretold Messiah, is born. We see this because what does Herod do when hearing the news? He doesn't throw the Magi out. He doesn't laugh at them. He doesn't politely feign interest, but ignore them. He immediately asks the scribes and the priests where, according to the scripture, the Messiah is to be born, so that he can find the young king. O Bethlehem in the land of Judah, you are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And so Herod hatches a plot. He tells the Magi to go to Bethlehem and search for the young king. And so he will then go and worship him. But this plan is not, of course, actually to pay homage to the Lord Jesus. In the darkness of his heart, he has designs on the young king's life. He, Herod, is king of the Jews. He will not have any royal competitors. And where Herod, and here we see Herod's remarkable unbelief, his hardness of heart to the things of God, and we see the nature of unbelief itself. Unbelief is not necessarily disbelief. Herod is not a rank atheist, nor is unbelief necessarily an intellectual denial of the identity of Christ. It is not necessarily a disbelief in the Word of God. Those things are certainly one species or one kind of unbelief. But Herod gives all the evidence that at least on an intellectual level, he believes. By searching the scriptures for the location of Jesus' birth, by deciding to kill him because he is the king, Herod shows that he believes in God. He believes the prophecies. He believes that Jesus is indeed, or at least very likely, the Christ child. And by his lie to the Magi, we can see he even knows what he should do with this information. It is clear from Scripture, as we heard from Psalm 2, not too long ago in our Advent midweek services, O kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Herod knows that he should go and worship the child, go and bow down before him and kiss his feet. So here's the thing. Herod is in unbelief. It's not that he doesn't believe in God, though. He doesn't disbelieve. He believes in the prophecies. He believes that Jesus is probably the Messiah. The thing is that he doesn't trust. He doesn't trust God or his promises. He doesn't trust in the goodness of God or that what God has in store for him in Christ Jesus is better than earthly wealth and power, or that God can have mercy even on a man as wicked as Herod. And he was a wicked man. He believes in one sense, but he doesn't have faith. He has an unbelief that would defy our belief in it if it weren't so common. Herod clings to his earthly kingdom and so sees Christ as a threat to his power. He will not receive the gift of God, but wants the things of the world and thus forfeits eternity. The Christ child has been born. He has come to save his people from their sins, to save even Herod. But Herod seeks to kill him. His heart is hard against the things of God. The Magi are warned in a dream not to return to Herod, so Herod decides to use a very blunt instrument. No regard for his neighbor's life, he decides to kill all the children in Bethlehem 2 years and younger in order to make sure that he kills the Christ, to make sure that he doesn't get away and he gets the job done. It's shocking. It's horrifying that in his unbelief he had resort to the massacring of children. But as a student of Scripture, it shouldn't surprise you at all. Throughout Scripture and the history of the world, we see that the murder of children is the vile fruit of unbelief, but it is utterly natural to it. Natural to it because it is an ultimate expression of hatred for God. It was the sin of the Canaanites that led to their destruction. So also, when the psalmist describes the corruption of Israel and the absolute depths to which they fell, he says, they sacrificed their sons and daughters to demons. They poured out innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to idols. From the beginning, God made man and woman in his image and gave man the first command in all of Holy Scripture: be fruitful and multiply, fill and subdue the earth. And immediately after the fall, the first gospel promise was that the seed of the woman would come forth and crush the head of the serpent. God's first command to that being who was made in his image is to have children. And his first promise is that the devil will be overcome by the birth of a child. And so the devil and his demons hate nothing more in all of creation than children. The result is that a culture that has given itself over to idolatry, that is in open rebellion against God, and has turned itself over to the service of demons, naturally sacrifices its children to them. It is the natural fruit of the bad tree, the natural fruit of unbelief and idolatry. Throughout all of history, each child sacrificed, each left out to exposure, each aborted in the womb is an expression of the devil's absolute malice for God, rebellion against the author of life, and a recapitulation of Herod's feeble attempt to kill the Christ. The Christ child is born. The Messiah has come. And Herod, in his unbelief, tries to kill the Christ. Not in disbelief, but in unbelief. He does not trust in the promises of God. And what Herod does in the extreme, we all do in our own lives in various smaller ways and to smaller degrees. Some struggle with the intellectual aspects of the faith. Some doubt God's existence or Christ's identity. Some do not. All of us on this side of glory manifest in our heart that struggle with unbelief, that still struggles with faith, with trusting in God's promises, whether we intellectually believe or not, whether we disbelieve or not. In holy baptism, as we witness today in the beginning of our service with Otis, the Christ child has been born in each of our hearts. Otis, the Lord Jesus has been born in you, so that you today are reborn as a child of God, forgiven of all your sins, brought into the heavenly family, and Christ has taken his seat and rules in your heart as he delivers all his promises to you. And so it is for each of us. But we must be on guard for that old sinful nature, the old Adam, to use the language of Scripture, or the Herod, we might call him today, still dwells within us. The seed of unbelief which wishes to kill the Christ who dwells in us. A believing unbelief. How is it that our own Herod tries to kill the Christ in us? Perhaps most obviously it is when he leads us, Christians, to despise the means of grace, to neglect the things of God. God has so mercifully and richly given himself to us in his word and sacraments, which he instituted to give us his grace and create in us the faith to receive his gifts, to know us and to be known by us, to be in communion with us. Indeed, our God is so great that the Christ born in the manger delivered himself up on the cross to death for the forgiveness of our sins. And that same Christ, risen and victorious, descends from heaven, comes down to give us the fruit of his cross in his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. He comes to destroy the powers of death and the devil, to banish the darkness. There is no miracle higher and no gift better than what Christ does for us in the sacrament of the altar. Christ gives himself to you. And the heart of true faith would let nothing stand in its way from receiving that gift. This is why Luther says in the preface to the Small Catechism that a law should not be made that requires a Christian to come to the supper, because he who believes, he who is a Christian, would come running and racing and would force himself on his pastor and beg that he must give him the sacrament. But on the other hand, Luther warns, when someone does not seek the sacrament at least four times a year, it is to be feared that he despises the sacrament and is not a Christian. The idea being that Christ holds out and offers such a gift. How could you not receive it? What do you value more? Herod valued his earthly kingdom. The Herod in you can suggest all sorts of reasons for you to deprive yourselves of the sacrament, of his word, of his preaching, and the gifts that God gives. Luther continues to expound on the absurdity of a Christian not coming to receive the supper regularly, saying, "Whoever does not highly value the sacrament shows that he has no sin, no flesh, no devil, no world, no death, no danger, no hell. On the other hand, he needs no grace, no life, no paradise, no heaven, no Christ, no God, nor anything good. For if he believed that he had so much evil around him and needed so much that is good, he would not neglect the sacrament by which such evil is remedied and so much good is bestowed." The unbelieving Herod wishes to convince us to remove ourselves from God's sustaining gifts in order to kill the faith which has been born in our hearts. But Herod was foiled. Where Herod's unbelief raged in fury and sought to destroy the Christ child, God's faithfulness and his love prevailed. Though the sword pierced the hearts of those mothers in Bethlehem, and Rachel refused to be comforted, the Lord did not abandon his son to death, at least not yet. An angel warned faithful Joseph, who arose in night, took the Christ child and his mother, and fled to Egypt. There the Holy Family dwelt in safety until Herod's wicked reign ended. And God called his son out of Egypt, just as he had once called Israel. All this fulfilled what the Lord had spoken. The Messiah would recapitulate Israel's unfaithful story, our story, but he would do so perfectly to redeem it. Herod's plot failed utterly. The king who clung to his earthly throne in unbelief lost everything in the end. His power, his life, his soul. But the true king, the child he hunted, lived. He grew in wisdom and stature and went forth to preach the kingdom and finally laid down his life, not fleeing death forever, but embracing it on the cross for you and for me and even for the likes of Herod, if he had repented. There on Calvary, Jesus crushed the serpent's head once for all. The devil's malice, the world's hatred, the unbelief that murders the innocent, all of it is met and is defeated by the blood of the Lamb, who offers himself as a sacrifice innocently to be slain, and yet he lives. And this victory is yours today in your baptism. As we saw with little Otis, Christ has come to dwell in you. The old Herod, the old Adam, the seed of unbelief that clings to earthly things and despises God's gifts, still lurks, seeking to kill the faith within. He whispers that your sins are too great, that God's promises are not enough, that you're too busy, that you can manage without his word and sacrament. He tempts you to neglect the supper, to value sleep or sports or worry more than the body and blood, where Christ himself comes to forgive, strengthen, and keep you in the one true faith. Repent, beloved. Flee to Christ, run eagerly to his table, for he gives you himself. The same Christ who escaped Herod's sword now places his victorious body into your mouth and his redeeming blood into your lips. Here the devil's power is broken anew. Here unbelief is drowned and true faith is fed. Here you receive grace upon grace, life that conquers death, and the sure promise that nothing, not Herod's rage, not the world's evil, not even your own failing heart, can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. The holy innocents bear witness to Christ's triumph. The mother's tears are not the end of the story. The resurrection is. And on the last day, those little ones will rise in glory. And so will you who trust in him. And tell them, cling to his gifts, trust his promises. For he who called his son out of Egypt has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may rise for the offertory. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord, we are the people of your promise, to whom you have revealed your Son as Savior and Redeemer. Bless your Church that we may enjoy the gift of good and faithful ministers. Prosper your word and bring to fruition its proclamation in every place and time. Lord, in your mercy. O God, you give us the gift of each other. Renew our fellowship as the body of Christ. Grant all things beneficial for husbands and wives, the single, those who desire marriage, and the lonely, who yearn to know the comfort of friends and family. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected your praise. Silence the enemy and the avenger. Turn the hearts of all who, like Herod, would despise children or destroy the unborn for selfish gain. Show your forgiveness to those who are penitent. Give your comfort to all women who mourn the loss of infants. And fix the eyes, our eyes, on Christ, who for a time was spared, but shed his blood for our salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, you appoint leaders and give the responsibility of authority. Protect our nation and its leaders. Grant them wisdom in their pursuit of justice. Bring your gift of peace in the world. Defend our soldiers such as Sean, and give relief to those who suffer oppression. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty Lord, you are the great physician. Grant healing in accordance with your will for the sick and the lonely, and those who suffer, especially Pauline, Kelly, Pam, Jared and Brenna, Angie, Jordan, and Aubrey. Give strength to those who give aid and care for the sick. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, all that we have comes from you. Give us grateful hearts that we may receive your gifts with joy and use them wisely for your glory. May our worship this day be pleasing in your sight. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you are the bringer of true joy who has given yourself as a gift to Otis this morning. Grant your Holy Spirit to increase and sustain him and us in this joy of salvation and thanksgiving for all your benefits, until that day when at last Christ returns in his glory as Lord and Judge of all. Lord, in your mercy. Hear us, O Lord, for we are the people of your promise and the children whom you have redeemed through the salvation accomplished through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Amen.
Well, I will wish you all a very Merry Christmas this morning. Remember, Christmas is not over yet. Christmas continues until Epiphany on January 6th, so we still have several days of Christmas cheer to enjoy and celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As far as announcements go this morning, of first importance, of course, we give thanks to God for the baptism of Otis this morning, that he has been brought into the church and brought into the Christian family, received the grace of God and the forgiveness of sins and the whole Christ and all in baptism. We commend him to our Lord, as well as Talon, Emily, and Caitlin, that they would uphold us as his sponsors in their prayers and bring him to the reception of the supper when he gets older. We also want to give thanks to everyone who helped put on the Christmas program this year. Thank you to all the children for your beautiful songs and everyone who put in the work to make sure that that happened as it always does. If you purchase poinsettias, you may take them home after the service this week. The list is available on the coat rack in the parish hall if you don't remember what you purchased. That is in there. There will not be an evening service this Wednesday because of New Year's Eve, but we will have a New Year's morning service at 10 a.m., so be here for New Year's morning, 10 a.m., to welcome in the new year, and also celebrate the Feast of the Circumcision of our Lord, which also is January 1st. The Voter Program Committee meeting will be held on January 6th at 7, and the Voters Assembly on the 11th at 1 p.m. Right to Life Sunday will be January 18th, and there needs to be, let's see here, what's this last one? Ladies and gentlemen are needed to help with the Altar Guild for the coming year. So if you're willing to serve on the Altar Guild, take care of the paraments and the communion and all that good stuff, please consider that. Contact Brenda if you are able, and her contact details are available in the bulletin. Any announcements I have forgotten this morning? Merry Christmas. Thank you to all our guests for visiting us this morning for the baptism, and depart in peace.